Blog Talk Radio.
This is a dangerous group. The groups that we're.
Ladies and gentlemen!
What's this nonsense?
All of this!
Good evening, everyone. That's right. It's another marvelous Tuesday evening, and you're listening to Keeping It Real with Nikki Outlaw. I thank you, my supporters. I thank new listeners. I thank you, period, for tuning in every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio and Lawless Radio. We appreciate it. I have some awesome things coming ahead for you. We got an awesome guest tonight, an author. But first, of course, as always, I want to shout out to the CEO and founder of Lawless Radio, the chairman. Love you, man. Thank you for having me on board and doing what you do for Lawless Radio and Entertainment. And if you want to hear the chairman, you can hear him on Wednesday evenings on The Grit Grind starting at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We also have another show on Thursdays at 9 called Bucking It Off with Buck. That's right. If you got something that just want to sound off and get off your chest, that is where you need to do it on Thursdays at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And on Friday at noon, we have the Midday Release with Dr. Passion. If you got some issues about your life, your marital status, your couple status, or just plain some advice that you want about your love life and how to kick it off for the weekend into the next week, definitely tune into my girl, Dr. Passion, the Midday Release. Again, you can call us at 646-478-5209 and press 1 at any time when you want to talk live to me, my co-host, or the guest. And again, my co-host for tonight, I welcome back my boy, Lou Keys. Hi, Lou.
What's up, Nikki? How you doing?
I'm great. I want to say thank you for coming on again with us. We had Lou on a couple weeks ago and brought him back. Lou is the owner and founder of Ill Connect Entertainment, as well as a poet, promoter, marketer, entertainer in his own right, going up and down the East Coast. So we are great to have, loving to have him tonight as well. And he's going to be joining us and talking with our guests and just talking with me about some issues that we're going to talk about that was on the news, in the world, just everything that you can possibly think about. And if you're also listening, for those individuals that may be listening via Blog Talk Radio, you're searching for Keeping It Real with the 3 for the E with Nikki Outlaw, or go to my founder, lawlessradio.com, and listen and chat button, and you can get to us. So, Lo, how what's been going on? How have you been? Anything new?
Just getting settled down here. We're getting settled down in 757. Really, that's all I've been basically paying attention to. I really was trying to get another cell phone, and I was just trying to figure out where to go and all that. So I finally got out of situation. I just said, forget it. I'm just going to get a T-Mobile.
I know just, cell phones can kill you. I'm up here trying to figure out if I want to change myself because you're crazy.
I got another
year before my contract, so I can't go nowhere because I ain't trying to pay no high price.
I got an old school flip phone. The phone cost me $10.58 or $15.51 or something. I ain't getting no web. I got this straight talking text, $40 a month with the insurance. I'm good with that 1 year.
You know what? sometimes I think I need to go back to just that, but then I start doing, I do so much, and it's like, okay, wait, no, I can't. I was talking to actually my brother a couple of days ago, talking to him tonight too, but I was talking to him a couple of days ago, and he was talking to me about that. But then I started thinking about it, you know, with everything that I do, I need the web and the text and everything, and, you know, my email and everything coming to my phone when I can't get to a laptop or computer. So, yeah.
Like, they can wait. I don't even care. I'm like, they can wait. I'm tired of being a microwave slave. I, like, get that. But they got all these internet cafes around everywhere. So, you know, it was Wi-Fi. You can pull up at McDonald's and get Wi-Fi now. So I'm like, I'm not sweating it anymore.
I understand.
Done with the smartphone. You drop a smartphone, it's not smart anymore. It's straight dumb, broken. I dropped my flip phone. It was like, it was looking up at me like, I got you. I ain't going nowhere. I'm good, dog. I got you, dog. Because it's right. So light. It ain't breaks. So I'm good.
Wow, I hear you.
Or Blackberries, all that. I might get one later, but, you know, I was slave to the Blackberry first, and then I was slave to the Evo, you know.
Stay away from the Blackberry. I had a Blackberry for years. I used to swear up and down for them. I love them. But then every time I turn around, there was having problems. It's like every time I turn around, I was having to get a new one like every 6 months. And I was going, no, it's, yeah, I don't do well
so
with
you lose all your info because you can't transfer your info if you didn't back it up. And, you know, it's just like, oh, my God.
Right.
The charger port, that one little charger port used to always mess me up. You know, so.
Exactly. I understand. Well, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, if you're just tuning in, this is Keeping It Real with Nikki Outlaw. Yes, it's Tuesday. That's my boy Lil Keys that you're listening to. And later down the road in a little bit, you're going to be hearing from my boy Derek D. King. That's right, Derek D. King. He's an author straight up out of the 757, the Hampton Roads, Virginia area. Yes, two up, two down, ladies and gentlemen. And he's going to be coming on in a little bit, and we're going to be talking to him about his latest book, as well as his other book that he has out, Relationships on Blast. So I'm really looking forward to talking to him. But before we do that, for those of you who've listened to me before, what do I always say? It's time to shake off the day. That is right. So it's time to unwind. Get your wine. Get whatever makes you mellow. And as my boy Low Key said a couple of weeks ago, if you need to hug yourself,
go ahead. You threw me that day
when you said that. So go ahead and hug yourself if that's what you need to do to throw and shake off the day. Hopefully the kids are in bed or at least in another room so that this can be your time to unwind. And while we're going to do that, we're going to shake it up and shake it off with a little Being Ignored by Lanae Michele. We'll be right back.
Winning. doubt you caught my eye. You took me by surprise. There's something about you, girl, that left a young G hypnotized. I don't know what it is, but I gotta figure out how to be with one when I'm so used to the player route. I've been in love before, yeah, I know what love about. Hurt them or you get hurt first. Depends on how things working out. Moving out, I thought about, but all I know is she for sure. You may come, you may go. I don't know how you may roll. Therefore, I just do my thing in my lane, run my game. Option weighing on my scale. Relationships is earthly hell. Forgive me if you feel ignored. Truly, I do cut for you. Hopefully, you can see. Wait a while and we can be.
I hear your stories of tragic times, but I still deserve to be treated right. When you ignore me, you just show me that I'm never.
Being Ignored by Lynae Michelle. That was actually pretty sweet. I've played that before. Forgotten.
Yeah, I was out here dancing a little bit, had a nice little beat to it.
Yeah. That's what I like about our up-and-coming, you know, local talent. You know, it's off the chain. It's something different. And that's what Lawless Radio is all about supporting our local come-ups, whether it's a musical artist, author, a poet, a model, a photographer, anybody who's trying to be your own individual, your own entrepreneur, whatever you got going on, you know, that's what we're here for. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to support you and get your information out there. So anybody that's listening, if you have something you want to talk about and get out, whether it's your business, your story even. I have had people who, you know, survivors of domestic violence. I've had people who talked about, you know, their own in their own business and trying how, you know, they got out. Whatever your story is, hit me up at KIR3AL@gmail.com. That's keeping it real, 3AL@gmail.com. And you know what? Without any further ado, Lo, our phones are blowing up right now. The line is full. It's been a minute. So, Derek D. King, I think you definitely brought it tonight. I love it. I love it. I love it. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just give you a little bit of background of Derek D. King. He, of course, is the author of the book Relationships on Blast, which we're going to talk about tonight, as well as he's a part owner of King for Life Publications, president and CEO of King for Life Author Lounge, and single father from York, Pennsylvania. He's now in the Hampton Roads area. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And, of course, we're going to give a shout-out because he is not only in Virginia, but he is also military as a way of the Navy, and I, being a child of military background, I definitely love my military family, so big shout-out for that, too. But then again, mostly everybody in Virginia has some type of military affiliation. So, Lo and I, without further ado, we welcome you. Derek, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
What's up, D.D. King? Not B.D. King, but D.D. King. That's really it. D.D. King. D.D. King. You don't
That's
have a
right.
name like a lady?
What's that?
You don't have a guitar named after a lady? Because, you know, Uh-oh. You can't have Lucille, you know.
I gotta get my Lucille.
How about right? You get like a, I don't know, maybe get like a ukulele or something and call it Bertha? Yeah. Oh, there you go.
not Bertha.
Bertha, that's okay. That takes it back there. I ain't heard that name in
yeah,
in a minute. I don't know how to even name their child.
You can cook chicken. That's a cooking chicken name right there.
right? So, Derek, I am happy that you're joining us tonight. I'm really excited to talk to you. I mean, you and I have talked previously, but I'm glad that you're on tonight to really talk about your book and your up-and-coming next book that you're working on. And as well as some other stuff I know that you got going on. So first, tell, you know, me and Lo and Paul, I'm telling you, the kings, as we're going to try and, you know, not to get confused with B.B. King, your lines are lit. I'm telling you, they're lit. So I know these are, you know, there are definitely people who have heard of your book, because I'm so excited. So hopefully somebody will push one and talk to you and ask some questions as well. But how did you get started? I mean, because, you know, not everybody has the writer bug.
Right. Well, one thing about me as far as getting started with the book thing, I was always been intrigued by relationships, you know, and I think a lot of people want to write a book, you know what I mean? I talk to people all the time, say, well, I want to write a book, or, you know, I thought about writing a book, and there's quite a few people who's actually written a book but never had it published, you know, and that was something that's always been laid on my heart to do, but really, what really inspired me to write the book was, one day I was back home in Pennsylvania visiting my brother, and I didn't even know he had wrote a book. And I was at his house, and his first book showed up, you know, his first book he'd written, and it showed up, it got delivered to his house, and I'm like, wow. I'm like, you wrote a book. Man, you wrote a book. You know, so, and from there, I said, you know what, if he wrote a book, I'm going to write a book. And the reason why I wrote the book on relationships, because I've always been intrigued by relationships, you know, ever since, my younger days, you know, like in my 20s, you know, I've seen people going through different things in relationships. And I think a lot of times I used to wonder, like, wow, you know, how would I have handled that situation? You know, I had a friend of mine who, him and his wife had been married for a little while, and he left her because she gained too much weight, you know. And the thing was, you know, I knew them, and I always assumed that they were very happy together, you know what I mean?
Right.
And one day me and him were hanging out, you know, and he was like, yeah, man. He said, me and my wife, you know, we splitting up, you know. And I'm like, I was just like floored. I'm like, what? He was like, yeah, you know, we split. I'm like, well, you know, what's going on? You know, not trying to get all in his business too much.
Right.
You know, he was like, well, you know, she just gained too much weight, you know.
That was his only reason to leave his wife was the fact that she gained his weight.
Wife and three kids. What? And I'm thinking to myself, well, she gained it by having your kids.
Right.
You know?
I mean, being from the female here on the phone, that weight don't just drop off. It took 9 months to gain it, and it takes a while to get it off. And if we don't have any money,
absolutely.
Wow. Okay.
Absolutely. So you know the thing. What's that?
I feel your pain. I feel the pain. You know.
Yeah. You know. So I was like, you know, my whole thing was, you know, and after that night was over, I thought about it a lot. You know what I mean? And it really bothered me. I'm like, wow. You know, and then I got to wonder, what would I do in that situation? So that's kind of what got the ball rolling for me wanting to write a book about relationships, because relationships are a whole lot different now than they were years ago. You know, just like everything else in the world has changed, you know, relationships change too. You know, they don't even pick up trash the way they do when I was little. You know, when I was little, you had about five men on the back of a trash truck, you know,
right,
running around grabbing trash cans, you know, so... That's mm-hmm. pretty much where I got, you know, how I got started on my book, you know.
Okay. Wow, well, you got me when you first said that your brother wrote a book, and you said, okay, if he can do it. And I said, well, no, I think that was just a little bit of sibling rivalry. You know, because you know how they have, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because them brothers, if somebody can do it, you want to do it, but you want to do it.
I can do it, too. Absolutely.
Yes.
I'm going to go get one.
Right. So I'm like, yeah, he wanted to write a book anyway because of relationships. So no, I think it also stems. When you said that, I was like, that's it. But I know your brother's feeling, you know, happy for you and feeling for you as well. And hopefully we can have him on the show later down the road as well. So
I've told him about you. I'm pretty sure he's listening right now. So.
Well, I hope he is. I hope he is. okay, cool. So tell us, okay, you started this book off about relationships because, you know, the fact, and you're right, everybody is intrigued with relationships. I mean, you know, you're in one, we're all in one, even
Lord,
you know,
at
some point in time, whether it's good, bad, ugly, no matter what. And you're right, we all wonder, like, what, you know, whether it's ours or somebody else, what would you do? Or what would you do differently? Like, you know, sometimes you get in a relationship and then you're like, something happens and then it ends and I reflect. I'm a reflector. I reflect back on what happened. You know, what could I have done differently? What could I have said differently? You know, no, regardless of it's, you know, anybody's fault, you look at it as a whole picture. And I try to do that. So because, one, you don't want to take that to the next relationship. You want to learn from it, and you go ahead, go to the next spot. So I'm all for reading your book because, you know, maybe you hit on some stuff I haven't got yet.
I don't think there's a lot of difference between men and women when it comes to the end of a relationship, depending on how it went. But I think women pretty much need closure in a relationship. You know, they want to know, you know, that's a woman's point of view. I think most men, your average man, when the relationship is over, they don't have no problem, you know, moving on to the next relationship. And even though they may take some baggage with them, but they moving on. You know, they're not trying to find out or figure out, you know, what went wrong or what happened or why it didn't work out this way or that way or, you know. So I think that's a little bit of a difference with men and women, you know, towards the end of the relationship. You know, I think women, a lot of women, you know, want closure in their relationship.
And I agree with you on that. And sometimes it's not just the closure of the relationship. We try not to take stuff to the next one.
Right.
It's not in, you know, because I'm one of the rare women that once it's over, it's over. But what I try to do is, you know, like I said, I try not to take that baggage to the next relationship. So I always try to go, okay.
Well, you are rare, because I think you're like
a
very rare. What? Very rare. What?
Yeah. Yeah, majority. Like, I'm not Tyrone.
That's right.
No, I am. I am so rare, and my true friends can tell you that. Yeah, I do. It's like, you know, But my thing is, I do what you said as far as the typical female. I do still analyze, but I don't analyze on why I ended, because, you know, if it's over, it's over.
Right.
But I'm like, what happened so that I don't take that to the next one? Whether it's me or him. And also, you know, if there was something, a characteristic in that particular person, is it something I really wanted? Or is it something I need, you know, don't want? Like, I'm sure that the next person doesn't have it. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Well, even from a male perspective, though, too, because usually when you say, oh, my relationship ended, the first thing a woman says, like, what'd you do? I'm like, why I got to be the one to do something?
You know what? You know what? You're absolutely right. Because I'm in the process of going through a divorce right now. And first thing people say, you mean tell me you got a book on relationships and you going through a divorce? You know, I had nothing to do with why I'm going through a divorce.
No, it doesn't. It has nothing to do with
it.
What's that?
It still doesn't take your knowledge away.
No,
right.
No, it don't. It
right.
don't, you know. So, you
might
know,
have actually, it might have actually enhanced your knowledge, because as you did your research or whatever, and get into the book, you could have found stuff that's in your relationship and realize, okay, you don't want it anymore. And, you know, I hate it when people come up to even myself and go, okay, like, you know, right now I'm single. And so I get always, Nikki, why are you single? It doesn't have to be a why. It could be a choice.
Right.
And I said this last week on the show that I'm single by choice because of things that
right.
I want to do for myself and for my career. You know, but, you know, like just said, it could be because, you know, your book and your research enlighten you on your relationship. And we're not going to go there into your ring and put all your personal business out there. We don't want that.
Absolutely.
But,
right.
You know, that could have been the thing. And I hate it when people try to get up all your.
You know, and then what you got to realize, too, another thing is, you know, what I get a lot from people that know me, they were like, well, didn't you see that coming? Or didn't you see, you know, didn't you? It couldn't have been nothing. You know, knew you didn't know she was like that. You know, for you know, how long did you date her? You know, we actually dated 5 years before
but
we.
You can't learn
married.
A person in 5 years. You know, I can't learn anybody
you know,
in
takes
5 years.
It's a lifetime to learn a person.
Thank you.
A lifetime, and then you, and then when you're dating, it's like you're not keeping it all the way funky anyway. You like you dating representatives. You know what I'm saying? It's like
absolutely. I like that. You ain't keeping it all the way funky.
Home, yeah, you know, it's like, you know, like I think I was watching something, you know, I'm telling my age a little bit. I was watching Sinbad, and it was like, boy, he got married. It's like, things going to change today. You know, that's what they said.
Right.
She said at the altar, you know, so it's like, you never know.
You know, and my situation was a little different. I had some life-changing events happen. You know, I'm a single dad, you know, and my son's mother passed. And she had pancreas cancer, and so he had to come live with me and my wife, you know. And a lot changed after that, you know, because she started complaining. Yeah, we used to travel all the time, and you know, do a lot of things. And our life did change, you know. And she started complaining. We always got to have a babysitter now. We can't do this and we can't do that because you got your son, and you know. But you know, and. You know, that's something to hear from your wife, you know what I mean? That's something for a wife to tell a person, you know what I mean?
That's
when I'm married.
Right.
Yeah, you know, the average person haven't experienced anything like that.
So that's why I say
a whole different, there's a whole new ball game there.
Well, a lot of people don't take those vows seriously, for better, for worse, to sickness, to health, to death do us part.
Absolutely.
You know, it comes with the territory. And she knew. I'm quite
absolutely.
Sure she knew what she signed up. You got a son, so
absolutely.
You say it's the issue with my seed being with us. You know,
absolutely. And what the real thing, the real selfishness about it is, she has kids. I can see if it was a woman who didn't.
Whoa,
have kids.
My God!
Absolutely. You know, and that's
okay,
the
wait,
real.
So she has her own kids. She wants you to do everything with her kids, but didn't
absolutely.
Want you to do anything for your child. Okay, I don't like that.
That's pretty much the ball game, you know. And I'm not choosing between my son and nobody. You know what I mean?
No.
That's not a choice that you should ever have to make.
No.
That's like asinine.
Right. It's not a choice, and I'm not gonna make. That was a choice I was not going
to make. And that's everybody, if it comes down to it, any mother or father, if that choice has to make, the other person is going to lose. I mean,
the truth of the matter is there's a lot of men out there who have chosen the wife over the kid. I know some people in that situation who was in that situation, and they had their kid, and they got rid of their kid. They had to go stay with another family member because the wife wasn't comfortable with the kid, or you know what I mean?
Wow.
I don't like that.
I've seen women do that too, though. I've seen women do that more than I've seen men do that. So.
Right.
I totally disagree with any male or female who picks another person, another partner over your child. Your child is
absolutely.
Not asked to be here. Your child is
absolutely.
Not. What, you know,
you
they
think
have
about
no
what
choice.
That does to your child, you know, like mentally, psychologically, you know, like.
There's a lot of stuff that goes on with that aspect.
Yeah, boy.
No. But, Derek, there. In your book, I read, you know, on your website, and anybody who wants to check out Derek's website. It is www.ddking.org, and you can go and check out what his little excerpts from his book, as well as go and try and purchase his book as well. But on your on the page, you talked about, I love this part, you know, hey, like most, you know, adults. Y'all know where I'm going with this, right? I mean, the sex life, yes. So tell me, come on, school me, what in here in this book? Because in the little excerpt, you were talking about how you explain how to get the most out of your sex life as a couple. What does it say? Without, quote, without becoming swingers, unless that is what you're saying.
There's a lot of swingers around here nowadays. But this is all. This is what I really try to put out about your sex life, you know. One thing about sex, I'm going to say it like this, you know, everybody has a different feeling that comes to mind about sex. If you're in a relationship with somebody, let's say you're in a relationship with somebody and you love to have sex. Ain't nothing wrong with having sex. Let's say you're in a relationship with somebody who love to have sex. They next to breathing, after they get that breath, sex comes next.
They got to have it.
They got to have it. You know. And if you're in a relationship with somebody who does not feel that strong about sex, you know, it's a problem.
Yeah.
But the thing is, everybody don't love sex the same. A person that loves sex don't understand a person who don't love sex. You know, because, I mean, my thing is, I had a guy tell me one time, he was married, okay, and I don't know what all I can and cannot say, but him and his wife used to have.
You can say whatever you want to say.
Okay, wrong his wife.
Wrong folks.
Okay. He was telling me how when him and his wife met and, you know, they was dating or early marriage or whatever it may have been, that they were pretty much the oral sex and everything was going on.
Okay.
And, you know, later on in the relationship, I guess when she got comfortable and felt like that she had her husband, you know, the oral sex just kind of fell off. You know, and then it got to the point where he was just giving her oral sex, you know, and then it got to the point where he was just like, wow, you know what I mean? The oral sex stopped altogether, but oral sex was his favorite part of their sex life. But to come to find out, she really wasn't into it all that much, you know, but
she was
started out where she was, yeah, she was frightened, and it started out where that she did that to get him. And reeled him in, and he was happy in a relationship. After so many years of being married, it just kind of went away. And he started cheating on his wife.
Wow, right.
You know what I mean? It stopped, and, you know, he stepped out of the marriage, you know, to get satisfied because, you know, she just pretty much cut it off altogether. And she was happy, you know. And one thing I tell people all the time when you're dealing with your mate, I mean, you can't go all the way to the extreme one way or all the way to the extreme the other way, but you got to find a happy medium with your partner. You know what I mean? If your partner wants something out of you, and one thing about I tell you about partners, if your partner is willing to talk to you, if you got a partner that's willing to open up and talk to you about what they want in a relationship or what they're looking for in a relationship, you need to listen. A lot of people, they tell their partners what they want, and it goes in one ear and out the other because they're completely happy.
Yeah.
Okay? The other person may be completely happy, but if you have somebody that's coming to you and they're opening up to you to tell you what they're looking for and what they want in a relationship, you need to listen to your partner. And, I mean, even if you can't bring it all the way, you need to come to a, you know, talk to your partner and come to a happy medium. Because if there's something out there that that person is looking for or something that they want and they came to you, they're going to find it somewhere else.
Man, Yeah, and the thing is too, you gotta look at it like when somebody, when you, whatever you do to hook them, that's what you gotta do to keep them. You know, that's that bullshit.
Do
anything different, you know,
you
like change this dream.
Do it.
You know,
absolutely.
That ain't even cool.
Absolutely. You know, 1 minute y'all was all up, y'all was in the backyard, all up on the hood of the car or whatever. You know. Now you're a freak.
Now you're just sitting on the fence for doing nothing, right?
And now all you want to do is, you know, lay on your back.
Right.
You know, you ain't doing nothing else. Come on and get it. You got 5 minutes. You know, oh my goodness.
But you know,
and then describe what you said. It's like on the top. It said they be like, you know, dancing like this. You see the strippers and the little people on the top, and then you see a dog laying flat on his back on the bed, and they say, but they may have sex like this. I'll cry every time I see that one. Oh my God! They hook you with the other stuff, and then they just change midstream. They change.
And it
changes.
It changes.
Can't be changing.
Yeah. And that's why we said, you know, with relationships, you cannot learn everybody, like you said, in your relationship 5 years and then you get married. You can't learn anybody in 10 years. It's just, it's not. And I agree with you. You need to be upfront and honest in the beginning.
Right. Absolutely.
And not be fake. Don't, you know, if you aren't into something, then don't do it. Or if you do it, let people know.
Absolutely.
And you just said it. Yeah. Let them know that, okay, you know what, I don't mind doing this, but it's not my favorite thing. It's all about the communication, all about being honest and being true to yourself as well as to the other. Because, I mean, it happens, you know, it goes for both. It's not, I mean, the example you gave was, you know, one of your boys, but it's also with, you know, the woman. Y'all need to also, if there is something you like and he ain't doing it, step it up and open your mouth.
That's
okay?
Right. You need
open
to tell
him. And
that's
if you're something
that
you are not, if you don't, aren't comfortable with it, let them know. I mean,
absolutely.
Don't be up your
and
God, if I don't say anything, I'm not, you know, he's going to leave me. Hello, it's all about communication, because if you don't, like Derek, like you just said, if you don't open your mouth or if you stop doing it, they're going to still walk. It's not about trying to, you know, hold on. It's about being honest and true. And if
absolutely.
The relationship is for you, it will be for you. We have a caller who actually wants to say something. Okay, all the calls are from the 757 right in that way. We got a couple from a different area code, but I'm going to give the first three extensions after 757. So the first three extensions is 305. Oh, let me make sure there's not another 305. Okay, yes, this is the only one. 305, state your first name only, please. Hello?
Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
What's up, Michelle?
I'm fine. How are you? Hey, Judy.
Hey.
Hi, Judy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
What's your comment, question? Or are you just calling
to
show your support?
No. I want to show my support, but I also have a comment I don't know if I have a question yet. But I did want to support Dee Dee because I've read his book. It's an excellent book. It helped me out. in a lot of ways, dealing with a relationship that I was in. But I just wanted to kind of play devil's advocate. I know you said it that, you know, it takes a lifetime to know somebody. But one of the comments I want to make is that no matter how long you've known somebody, how long or how little, I don't believe you ever truly, truly really know someone. You know as much about a person as they choose to revealed to you in word and in action. And you can know them for 20 years or you can know them for 5 years or 2 years, but I just, from, you know, my 42 years on this earth, I just feel like you know as much about a person as they want you to know, no matter
Amen.
How long.
Amen. Amen. That, yes.
Absolutely. And you know what my comment to that is? I've had a lot of situations, you know, talking to different people that happened in my relationship, and people were like the selfishness and things like that. But and people are like always ask me, didn't you see that in the beginning? But if you ask anybody in a successful relationship that's been together, and if you ask them, well, did you see any selfishness in your partner? Yeah, I've seen that, you know, but it was something that they could work through, you know what I mean?
Right.
Or did you see any, let's say, there's some people out there who their partners cheated on them, you know, mm-hmm. and they're still in a successful marriage. You know, they got over that hump and went on. You know what I mean?
Oh.
But at what point in time in your life do you say, you know what, I'm not going to take it no more? You know what I mean? At what point in time do you say, that's enough? You know what I mean? So it's not like...
And only you can answer that as an individual. You
absolutely.
Know in your heart. You,
absolutely.
You know. You have a feeling. You know, okay, when this is...
Only you
know
when
it's done.
Had enough.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it may... One person might be able to take a little more of that than you. Somebody might be able to take somebody disrespecting their child a little bit more. You know what I mean? And then... There's people out there who can stomach that.
There's people out there who can stomach that.
But my thing is, only you know when you fed up with it. You know what I mean? Nobody can tell you. I know people who's been in abusive relationships. They've been getting beat on for 10 years. And people, man, you need to leave him or you need to leave her or who, you know what I mean? But they're still dealing with it and, you know, they're doing it. Other people, they get that first beat down and they out. You know?
Right.
It might be year one of the marriage. Oh, no, you ain't putting your hands on me no more. I'm done. I'm going. You know, that's something I never understood. And I'm not saying, I mean, I don't know it all, but I would never understood somebody to sit around and take somebody beating on them all the time.
And they may have become conditioned to it, or they may have.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Right.
And, you know,
there's
some kind of
trauma there, that, or their codependency or whatever, or they're afraid of the unknown.
But that's the human in you, though. That's the human in you. And change. People are afraid of change. They're afraid of what's going to happen to their life, you know, that lifestyle that I'm living or that life that we got, you know, however that life is going. What happens when I leave this person, you know, because of their abuse? You know, where do I go? Who, you know, who's going to do this for me? Who's going to do that? You know, it's that dependency sometimes, you know?
Well, thank you, Michelle. Did you have another comment or another question?
The question I had when you were on the topic of sex within a marriage, maybe there's an incompatibility there, or maybe mm-hmm. one's desire is higher than the other. Now,
mm-hmm.
say your spouse comes to you and tells you maybe that there's a trigger or something, maybe something happened to he or she when they were younger, there was some inappropriate touching or some sort of sexual abuse, and they never disclosed that to you. If they disclosed it to you, would that be something you'd be willing to work out? Like all of a sudden, you know, if you both had a high, an act of sex, you were both satisfied, and then everything changed all of a sudden, and you didn't know why, but say he or she came forward and shared that with you, would you be willing to work through that? Because sometimes that can be a very long process.
Yeah, Derek,
I don't think that's fair. That's something that should have been disclosed in the beginning before you got
out. Let's say that it wasn't right. And if it wasn't disclosed, would you be willing?
So what, I'm not sure I completely understand the question. You're saying that if the person later on down the line comes out and lets you know that they were, had somebody touched them or, you know, had some kind of sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Early on in life.
Right. And it never, I'm sure they should have disclosed it, but they did not disclose it. But once things started to change in the sex life, and maybe they found out that maybe the other person stepped outside of the marriage, and then they chose to come forward, would you be willing to work through that, or would you, you know, you have to have some time to work through the fact that they didn't disclose that at the beginning of the relationship?
You know what? I think that's something that's going to be on a case by case basis on you know the person that you're dealing with. You know, because for some people, that trust issue, is a huge
mm-hmm.
factor. That trust issue is a huge factor. You know, and nowadays, I mean, for the most part, you see women all the time that take their man back for going out and cheating. And, you know, they could work through their relationship, you know, and it was very rare, and it don't matter what the situation was, very rare for a man to be with his woman after she's been out, you know, with another, because men are very, possessive of their woman. You know, they don't want to think about anybody.
You keep thinking about she doing everything to you, she doing to them. Yeah, so it's like you don't know what's going on now.
But that goes both ways.
But
that goes
It does go both ways. But one thing about women, though, that's real. One thing about women, women are driven more by emotions. Women are thinking about long-term things and, you know, what we have and what we've given up, you know, and things like that.
Right.
Only thing
I'm going to interject right there just for a minute before you go further because, I hear what you're saying, Derek, about, you know, women thinking long term, but some women aren't.
Thank you.
You're right.
I do know some women, you know, who think that, okay, you know, they're not thinking long term. They're not thinking about, you know, the ring on the finger. They're thinking about the career, and they're thinking about maybe this guy is, you know, okay for right now, and he's satisfying me right now, and relationships right now. Not all women. And listeners, I want y'all to know this, not all women, especially if y'all are male listeners, we don't always think about marriage. And I think it's because of the society that we are in now.
Okay.
I mean, granted, for listeners, the way Derek is talking is because of the age, that's putting all of our ages out there. It's the age of those of us that are talking on the air right now and how we were brought up.
You're right.
Brought up.
Because you know what? The women nowadays is completely different. And
I wanted to stop you right there and say that because I wanted some of my listeners to go, ooh, Nikki got a, you know, inspector, and he's very
right.
I want to clear it.
You know what? And I'm going to tell you this. This has just come from talking with a lot of people, especially when it comes with sex. When it comes to sex, dealing with women, and we putting the age out there, dealing with women our age, you got a lot of women out there who, I don't do this, they don't do that, they don't do the other, don't do this, you know. But then when you get with them little young girls,
them little young girls,
you can wake them up 4 o'clock in the morning and just tap them on the shoulder and they automatically toot it up. The women, the women our age, some of them might do. I'm not going to say none of them do.
I'm glad you clarified that.
Different backgrounds. You got different backgrounds. Everybody didn't come up the same.
Right. And it is. It's in the upbringing. It's also in the socialization. It's also the timing, the era. I mean, brought up years ago and how we were brought up. The women were taught differently.
I'm going to say what, as far as what I could see when I was younger, okay, most women, the sisters, I'm going to put it this way, the sisters, if they was doing oral sex, they didn't want nobody to know about it.
Exactly. I knew you were going there.
It was kept on a hush.
Right.
Okay.
Who sings that song? You know, the lady in the street, a freak.
Freak in
the
building.
The door is closed, the lights are out, and whatever happens behind that door, nobody knows. Whereas, like you said, these young girls, they put their stuff
These young girls pulled out all the stuff.
Everything. You see it on the social medias. I mean, hello, Facebook, Facebook, whatever, out there, you can hear everything hanging out. Whereas those of us who were brought up were, okay, you know what, when you go outside, you look sexy and classy. But when you behind the door, you can do whatever you want to do behind the door. And for those who were brought up that way, that's how we still keep it. Because, you know, for me, and I don't mind putting my business out here, for me, what I do behind closed doors is what I do behind closed doors. And nobody needs to know whether Nikki's a freak behind the door or whether she's not, because the only thing that needs to be known is what I'm doing with my man.
There you go.
And that's what it needs to say. Whereas these young girls, okay, they freak outside, they freak in the inside, they freak under the table. They freak on top of the table, in the bathroom, they
in the taxi cab. It don't even matter.
I've seen a lot of the ones our age doing it too. So you just can't say it's like,
and you're right.
You know,
you're right. Everybody's doing it.
But everybody's doing it, or everybody has the capability to do it. Nobody above anybody's
and
not going to do
think,
anything.
I think the ones that are our age that are doing it are trying to compete with the younger
I think there's some that have been doing it all their life because I know some in high school.
They've been undercover.
They've been doing it in high school and they're doing it
undercover.
Now. Some people
they haven't grown
deal.
Up. Then that's just, they
yeah.
just haven't grown up. They haven't grown up. That, you know, on that, if they're still, if they were doing this in high school and they're still doing it now in the late 30s, early 40s and beyond, then those are individuals who have not grown up.
Everything
too.
You do behind closed doors doesn't need to be broadcast anyway. Everything you do with your significant other, that's not any everybody's business anyway.
Exactly.
We got TMZ now, so everything's everybody's business.
Well, I don't want to take up any more time in case somebody wants to ask a question.
Well, Michelle, thank you for looking at a nice, we had a natural dialogue going on. Love it. Thank you. Please tune in.
Hey, Michelle.
To,
love you, Ma.
Please tune in, Michelle, on other Tuesdays. We always have something going on, some topic heated up like this one. And we love callers to come in and give their input because it definitely spices things up sometimes. So please stay on the call. Don't go anywhere. I will be muting you, though, and thank you.
Thank you.
So, Derek, before you go, because, wow, that was some heated conversation, talk a little bit about your second book, because I know we're running out of time because I know you got to go, but if you can just give us a little bit about your second book that you're working on.
My second book is about, it's pretty much, I'm calling it halfway through my life, and I'm just going into detail about a lot of different things that happened in my life, and I just want to lay it on the line and put it out there, you know, and let people know, you know, where I've been. When I first got into books, you know, I've been into different type of books, you know, but for me, autobiographies has always been my favorite, next to money-making books. You know, but autobiographies have always been my favorite. So I want to do my midway autobiography. And that's pretty much what I'm working on now, you know, getting it out there, you know.
Nice.
I also own my own publishing company for anybody that wants to publish a book, King for Life Publications. You can get it at kingforlifepublications.com. You can go on and check out all the other books that I have under my publishing company. So anybody that's looking to publish a book, they can check me out at kingforlifepublications.com.
Right. So. And Derek, there is something you have started here in Virginia, in the Hampton Roads area, and I want you to share that. I want you to get that out there about for those individuals who are listening, and if you are a writer or, you know, or maybe just a hint of it, or even if you're not a writer, but you want to network, talk to them about
that. That's right. It's called the King for Life Authors Lounge. With me being an author, I just want to put more authors out there and give them another avenue to get out there and promote their books. It's pretty much just a support system for authors. I've been talking to a lot of business owners in the area, and what I'm going to be doing is setting up book signings at hair salons, and I'm in the process of working on doing it's called a book and lunch, and at different restaurants where you can go out and have lunch, and you would have an author there, and they would read excerpts from their book, and put it out there, another way for you to promote your book. And I know promoting books can be a little, it's hard to get out there by yourself and do it. And it's, you know, so I just want to bring everybody together. So all the authors in the 757, you can check me out at ddking.org and get in touch with me. And I just want to get out there and help these authors get out there and promote themselves. Also, I have a function coming up real soon with Omar Tyree. on
August
the 20th. He will be here in Newport News, Virginia. We'll be doing a function with him. And for more information on that, you can get in contact.
April 20th, right?
Yes, April. What did I say?
I think you said August.
That's my birthday, too.
April 20th?
Yeah, it's my birthday. I'll be 42.
Okay. All right, that's what's up. Well, shoot, come on out. He's going to be out there. It's going to be plenty of cameras, taking pictures. You can get with me for tickets. Can I put my phone number out?
It's whatever you want to put out there.
You can contact me at area code 757-270-5585. Come on out and check out Omar Tyree. And for all your authors in the area, I'm doing a function on the 16th of March. It's a Saturday. It's going to be quite a few authors we're getting together to discuss the balance between men and women. Okay? So, yes, it's going to be, and it's free to the public. The Omar Tyree function is $25 for the tickets in advance. You can get them from me, but this one is free to the public, and it's going to be at the Marbury Inn and on Warwick Boulevard, 16890 Warwick Boulevard in Newport News. Come on out and check it out. There's going to be a few authors out there, book signings, and it's going to be a real deep discussion. So I would like to invite everybody to come out, and, you know, we're going to have a good time. There's going to be vendors out there and light refreshments. And like I said, it's free to the public. So come on out, and we can all have a good time.
All righty. It sounds good.
Yes. That's what's up. And look for more from D.D. King. D.D. King going to be doing a whole lot here in the 757. Definitely going to be doing a whole lot here
definitely
in the 757. Bringing a lot. And the other thing I'm looking at doing right now, I'm working with a few people, is bringing the first book festival here to the 757. They have a huge one in Atlanta every year. They have them, Baltimore has them, they have them in New York and quite a few different cities in New York, Charlotte, South Carolina. They have them all over, but they don't really have anything here. And, you know, a lot of people tell me,
oh,
you can't do it.
Let's link up on
that. Oh, yeah. No doubt.
That's a guy here from Atlanta. I know what you're talking about. So, yeah.
Okay, that's what's
up.
Definitely hit me up, you know, because people tell me all the time, you can't do it here in VA. You're not going to get the support, you know, but I'm here to prove them wrong. You know,
right.
And
I'm with you on that.
I tell people all the time, we got the people here.
Yeah. That's a sad thing about Virginia, is that we always get that. We always are getting
always
here in Virginia. You're not going to just go, you know what, we got to, if you put it out there.
We can do it. We can do it.
You can do it. A lot of things started here in Virginia.
That's right.
And then died down and got moved to those other cities. I mean, you know, a lot of things started here. And then over the years, died down.
Freak Fest
started
here. It wasn't no freak neck until we had Freak Fest.
Exactly.
You know what? You're right. You're absolutely right.
So,
and look how big that is.
Granddaddy. You know what I mean? Look how big
people. I tell people all the time, I'm going to paint the picture. If you can see that picture I painted on the wall, if you can see it as clear as I do, just get on the bus.
Right.
Don't sit around talking about what we can't do. Get on the bus.
I come from the days of Tidewater, so I know what we can do.
Exactly.
I know that. That's what's
exactly.
The greatest. Look, man.
Greatest musicians come from
the
area.
You're here in VA?
He just moved back from the ATL. He is back in the ATL.
You need to get my number.
So.
We need to exchange information.
I'll hook y'all up. Don't worry. I got y'all.
No doubt. Derek,
I know you got to run. I don't want to keep you any longer unless you want to stay all with us for the next 30 minutes.
I'm not hanging out with you. You done got me.
Oh, it's sweet. Well, we're going to take a quick break because we all need to, you know, take something.
Hanging out with the homies? All right.
like I told everybody earlier, you know, we relax with our wine or whatever you got going on. Well, we're going to take a little break right here, and we're going to listen to Invisible Man by Donnie Williams. We'll be right back.
All right. Hope it ain't too much.
Welcome back to Keeping It Real with Nikki Outlaw. That was Invisible Man with Donnie Williams. We have been talking to our special guest tonight, Derek D. King, author of Relationships on Blast, and my co-host for tonight, Mo Keys. And we've had some awesome conversations about Derek's book, some insights, some good debates going on, and I'm feeling it. I'm thankful. And right before the musical break, Derek said he's going to hang out with us for the rest of the show, so I'm excited.
Yeah,
that's right, hanging out. Well, you know, I normally we go into some local and worldwide news right now, and I wanted to definitely bring this up. It's been on the news. I'm not sure if you guys have heard it, but have you heard about the baby that was born with HIV? Somebody cut their stuff off.
Mm-hmm. Some feedback going on. The baby that was born with HIV about almost a year ago, and the medical doctors and everything had lost touch with the child once the baby left the hospital. And they've recently got report and retested the baby, who's, like I said, about a year or so old now. And supposedly there is no traces whatsoever of HIV.
In America, yeah.
Yeah, and they're saying that the baby is actually cured, and the reason they're saying that the baby's cured is because when they run tests, they cannot find anything in the blood. So that's why they're saying and proclaiming and professing that the baby is cured, and I hope that is so true, because down the road of this child's life. But they're also getting ready to use, they're saying that what they need to start doing is if any time that child has been detected or born with any form of HIV/AIDS, is to start immediately with the drugs because, if this is the first case that has ever happened. So what they're saying is that they need to start early.
They're still doing a lot of testing to see if it'll work on other kids and all that because,
right.
You can't just say, this is what we're going to do. They got to see if it's going to be,
Work.
I'm really hopeful with that because so many babies that are, born into that and they didn't ask to be here and now they got, it's going to take their life from the beginning, So, I'm with that. I'm big ups respect for that. I like that.
Right. And I'm going to just shout here. I mean, this is just go off on a little tangent. I have, my thing with, not per se doctors, I don't know if it's the pharmaceutical industry, but that whole medical thing is, we have so many diseases, so many things out here that have been, out here for years, and we are constantly raising money for this, or raising money for that, over the years. And I honestly feel that there's some cures out here already. But there is no money if you cure everybody. You get where I'm going?
Right.
As long as people are sick and you can prescribe 15,000 pills.
Think about this. You're taking something for rheumatoid arthritis, but then they say the side effects are you can get an infection, hepatitis B. What your symptoms after you take the medicine is worse than what you're taking it for.
Another thing is if you have a person in the hospital on their deathbed, they would do so many different surgeries and this, that, and the other. Like, say for somebody in there for cancer, and they will give them 10, I don't know how many different surgeries to do this, to do that, to do the other, knowing that this person is going to die within, so much time. It's all about making money.
It's totally about making money. I have issues with it because, my mom is several different types of things going on. And every time we go to the doctor, there's another test, and then there's another medicine. And I'm going, wait a minute. I thought that medicine was supposed to help this. Now you're giving me another one to help this. Okay, that means there's more money that has to sell. And I'm going, so before I was blind because we didn't need to go out here and dish out no dough for no money. Nothing was left. But ever since she's been ill with various things, some things are just, as we get older, we need things. But my thing is that, I've really started thinking about this going, wait a minute. You know what? We're doing this Relay for Life. We're doing this Walk for March. We're doing this for whatever. We're doing this telethon. We're doing this. We're doing this. We're giving proceeds. We got celebrities going over here doing game shows and then donating to charity. You got all this money that's being raised across the nation, across internationally.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And but then if so, everybody would just stop and think for a minute, somebody, and all you got all these brilliant doctors, supposedly, who've been going to school for years, and they've been behind those little labs with the door and all their little experiments. I'm telling you, people, I'm telling you, there are cures out there. There are
I believe they
are in a little lock box with a code on it, and it's going to come out right when they feel like, oh, you know what, we need to bring out a cure, make everybody happy. Because I'm telling you, it's out there, but they do not see a financial gain, you know, in it. Especially, and like I said, I do want to go to state pharmaceuticals. I don't know anybody up here who's fine, and I'm not trying to point you out. That's your job. Keep doing it. But my thing is, they're the ones that's making the money. They make it. They keep it. They go to the doctor and say, look, if you push my drug.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they get
kickbacks. You get this
proceeds. Well, did you know that doctors get kickbacks from using different drugs? They get a kickback for that. Also, I realized this. I'm pretty healthy. Okay. Mm-hmm. I go every year and get a full physical every year. And it scared me the first time. Every year that I go get a physical now, I got to go see a specialist for something. Then when I go see the specialist, oh, ain't nothing wrong. You know, they tell me ain't nothing wrong with me. Then next year it's something different. It's a money-making thing. They know they can send me to a specialist. Oh, something wrong with your blood don't look right. There's something wrong with your toe don't look right. We're going to send you to a toe specialist. You know, but they send you somewhere every time, and these people tell you, oh, yeah, we just had to look at it to make sure it wasn't nothing wrong. You good, you know, go
right
on.
Right there.
You
hit it on the nose. You hit it on the nose. We had to look at it. We had to examine it. And you done taken your day off work or you done taken something, you know, because like my mom, like I said, we just went through this past weekend. You know, I took her to her doctor on Friday. He said, okay, this, and this, you need to go to the ER. They need to
absolutely
take her off the week. Okay, so Friday, I had to go take her to the ER. I turn around and I sit there with my two nephews. Then I had to go to school, pick up my daughter. I come back, we sit there until almost 8 o'clock. Then they're like, okay, we need to admit you. My mom and I got there at 2:57 Friday afternoon, okay? Then they don't say we're going to admit you till almost 8:30. Then they turn around, and then it's like 10 o'clock, and they go, oh, well, we're just going to keep you here for observation. So then Saturday night, yeah, you know what I mean? It was like a whole, it's this whole little cycle. And then then in the write-up, you have to see these follow-up specialists within the week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's how they do. That's how they make their money. That's how they make their money, I'm telling you. And see, most people got insurance. All they're doing is billing your insurance company. You might have to pay a copay, but they getting their money. It's a racket.
And it doesn't matter if it's private insurance, public insurance, doesn't care if it's Medicare,
right,
or Medicare. It doesn't
matter.
They're getting their money. They're getting
that's
it.
Right.
I'm, you know, sorry, listeners. That's just it was just right there on my heart. And after this little baby, I had to get that out there.
That's a good place to dig in the Black History fact.
Yeah, go for it. Yes, go ahead.
I got one. Since we talk about medical right now, okay. Let's see. Who is David J. Peck?
David J. Peck.
Yeah, David J. Peck. P-E-C-K.
Was he that? I don't know. Who was he?
Okay. Well, he is the first Negro, or as they put it here, African American, to graduate from an American medical school. When Rush Medical College of Chicago awarded him with his M.D. in 1847.
Awesome. Wow. I love it. And for our listeners who are new to this, I started in February, like most other blog talk and radio. We did, you know, Black History Month. And I decided, you know what? We are Black 365 days, regardless. So I will be continuing on keeping it real, doing Flash to the Past, Black History, not just Black History Month, but Black History. So that's what Mo is doing right now. So that is awesome. I did not know that. I didn't know that. You got me. Oh, awesome. That's awesome. Did you have another one?
Yeah, I do. I got another one. We have a slave by the name of Onesimus, O-N-E-I-S-S-I-M-U-S, provided Americans with an effective antidote for smallpox in 1721.
I love it. I love it. And you know what? I love our Black history because I'm getting on it again.
They say Black history is the world history.
It's world history because the U.S. and worldwide would not have majority, I would say 90 to 95% of what we have in this world without us.
We're the most stolen from, hated on, but everybody still loves us.
But everybody's using our product. Everybody's using what we made. Everybody is hello. Everybody's eating or
in a McDonald's commercial, they're rapping on them.
Everything
new they doing now.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And the thing about it is not only are we, you know, hated on and everything, but we are also the minority that can't stick together.
Yeah.
You know, when it's time to stick together and push each other and go, we are the most community, of, you know, that will pull apart, unfortunately, unless it's something that really detrimental. Then all of a sudden we're doing marches and everything. But when it comes to the everyday things, we need to be pulling together, and we don't do it. And we need
when Trayvon Martin, God rest his soul, and prayers are still with his family and everything. But that later on that week, a little 6-year-old girl, I think she got killed in crossfire in Chicago, but they didn't have a rally about that. So it's like we can't just pick and choose. Everybody's baby is important. I mean, everybody's baby is important, so we got to remember that. We got to remember that.
And you know, exactly. And like I said, it doesn't have to always be the major cases. You know, we have Derek B. King on the line right now. We have Low Keith. We have Nikki Outlaw. We have Michelle. We have all these other callers that are on. Whatever y'all got going on, we all need to be supporting each other.
Just as important.
We got to get back to the village. We got to get back to the village.
And you know where that starts?
We got to get back to the village. Got to.
Yeah.
That starts right here with us.
It started
exactly.
in Africa.
It does.
We
got to
continue here.
It starts right here with us.
Come on, Occupy Wall Street. I got a new initiative on that. Occupy your street because your babies are there.
Right. That's right.
Exactly. Anyway, it needs to start with us.
Right
it needs to start with everybody on this call, every listener that's listening. You know what? Support your neighbor. Support
I want to bring back block parties. You know how many people used to go to block parties? You remember when we were growing up? Block parties. That's right.
Remember Dave Chappelle's block party? That was big.
When's the last time either one of y'all been to a family reunion?
For real.
I mean, some people still have
it's been them. It's been a minute.
But you know what? When I was growing up, everybody had family reunions. Don't nobody have family reunions. I mean, there's some people who still do it. I'm not going to say don't nobody do it.
And family too busy fighting now for all that.
Too busy. this aunt don't get along with that aunt. This aunt won't get with that one. This one don't like that one. You know, the whole family just toe up. If that one come, I'm not coming. You know. Brothers and sisters not getting along no more. You know?
The reason why, because we all talk at each other. We don't talk to each other. So we don't listen. We're waiting for our turn.
Communication.
So when we try
you
to
know
communicate,
what I talk about?
We're waiting for our turn instead of really listening and hearing out and opening up our hearts to each other. We ain't doing that no more.
Communication. I talk about that in my book about communication. And it's not just in a relationship between a man and a woman. You know, a lot of stuff I talk about in my book with communication is – this communication can help you at work and life and with life in general. Not just communicate. You got to communicate in life. You got to learn to communicate with people in general.
Well, the root word of communicate is commune. If you can't be around each other, you can't communicate because you can't commune. You
right.
know, so.
Wow.
You got to break bread with each other. You got to
That's right.
Down.
You know what? You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. Communication, and that's the key in any relationship between a brother, a sister, a mother, a daughter, a father, a daughter, a husband, a wife, a boyfriend, a girlfriend. Talk.
Everything.
It's everything.
Communicate. If you don't have communication, and I tell any and everybody that, anybody can write all the books they want in the world about a relationship. The main one thing you need to know in a relationship is communication. Understand your relationship. I tell people, you got so many people that's going around that's kicking it. You know, ain't nobody in relationships no more. Everybody just kicking it. Oh, I'm kicking it with this one. I'm kicking it with that one. You know, I tell people all the time when you're in a relationship, when you meet somebody, you need to take it to the round table. You just sit down at that round table and let them know what you're looking for. They need to let you know what they're looking for. Okay.
You gotta be consistent. You gotta be consistent. It's gotta be.
That's right. Now here's the deal. But here's the deal, though. Y'all might have sat down at the table and said, "Okay, you know what? We just gonna kick it every once in a while. This is what we got. This is what we gonna do." Everybody sign the agreement and walk away cool. You know. But now, y'all done been kicking it for a couple of months. Somebody want to do more than kicking now. Now they want to change the contract.
Yep.
Okay. You can't just assume that because you feel it a certain way that the contract that is just gonna change.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go back to the round table. You got to go to that round table and say, you know what? I'm really digging you. I see something between us. I want to take this to the next level. Now it's up to the other person to say whether they feeling the same. They might be feeling the same way.
But at the same point,
then again, they might not be feeling the same way.
When y'all getting there, y'all got to keep it funky with each other. Y'all do, like, on everything. Because lots of times the relationships are failing because they don't disclose stuff that they're supposed to be disclosing in the early parts. And so you rob them of their choice because you didn't keep it truthful with them. You know what I'm saying? You didn't give them a chance to choose. You got to give them that choice to choose. You know that you got to give them that opportunity to choose by telling them the truth and trust that
I tell people all the time that very thing that you keep from that person to get in that relationship will be the very thing to break that relationship. Because if you hide something from them and say, you know what, I'm not going to tell them this because I don't want them to judge me by this. And then they find out, or you tell them later on in a relationship, it's going to break
that relationship.
It's not a good
look. It's
not
a good look. Because you didn't
trust me. You went in there on a lie. You went in there on
a lie. You didn't trust me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You're not who they thought they had. You're not who they thought they was going in this relationship with. Not saying all the time that it's going to break the relationship, but you're risking a chance of that relationship going downhill from that point on. You know,
but you don't, and also you don't know what you're holding back from them, how that may have impacted their life from earlier parts in their life. You don't know that, so you're robbing
them
of that chance of making a knowledgeable choice.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
All right, guys, y'all went back and forth. I was like, okay, I got all into the conversation, and I went, oh, wait, I need to wrap that up.
Yeah, my bad, Nikki. You know, we gotta look out for the lady. Go ahead, Nikki. Say what you gotta say. Let's say what you gotta say.
It was great. Sometimes I'd be listening to people and then I forget that, oh, wait, I'm on the radio. I can't just, but that's
I
love about keeping it real. You know, that's what it's about.
Keeping
the show
it
about.
Real. I like
it's
that.
It's about, you know, and the show's motto is keeping it real, and it's about real issues, real topics with real conversation. And that's what we've had tonight. And I love it. I love it. Derek D. King, ladies and gentlemen.
D.D. King. D.D.
Right.
King.
Not to be confused with B.B. King, but D.D. King, Derek King. And Derek, one more thing. Where can they get your book?
You can go to ddking.org and get it. You can go to kingforlifepublications.com. That's probably the best place to go get it. But you can also get it at Barnes & Noble. You can get it at Amazon.com or, you know, pretty much any bookstore. You can go in and get it from there.
Awesome. So ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here. Go out, get the book. We talked about it. It's all about relationships on blast, the realness. And low keys, love you, babe. Thank you for joining me tonight.
Too.
and hanging out with me tonight. And all of our listeners, thank you so much for being with us tonight and chatting with us and partaking. I do ask that you come back next week. We have another guest. What is next week? The 12th, right? That would be Quincy Carr, comedian out of the 757. He will be here, you know, talking it up. And but yeah, definitely stay tuned. We got some lot of guests coming up over the next few, actually months. I'm like booking people all the way up till May already. So definitely tune in.
Now, before you go, Nikki, because I know you got up and coming talent coming VA, just to let you know what I do. I mean, I ain't tell you all this. I mean, I have told you, but you know, I brand, son. I work with some major people. So, you know, like we do videos, photography, anything that you need to do to get your brand out there. You got a budget, talk to me. You know, follow me on Twitter at Mr. No Chaser. I'll get back to you. I promise you. You know, so we got to get it going, VA. We got to get it going.
That's right. That's right.
And just to let everybody know, it's not just a, it's not just Virginia. We have listeners all over. So, you know, if you would like to be on the Keeping It Real, like I said, you can hit me up. If you know Derek, he can get you my contact information. You can hit me up on Facebook. That's Nikki with 1K Outlaw.
DDK.
You can also go to send me an email at KIR3AL@gmail.com, and I can get you on the air so you can talk about your business, your story, whatever it is that you have that you feel that needs to get out, hit me up. If you're a musician, hit me up. We can get your song out here. But like I said, we have listeners who are all the way to Cali, all the way overseas. I have some really faithful listeners who are on the air. I had a musical artist that came that were on the air last Tuesday from California. So we had a lot of listeners last week from California. I've had people all the way from New York to Dallas. I'm telling you, it's amazing when it comes to the Blog Talk Radio. It spreads, it spreads. And ladies and gentlemen, I've been so thankful for all of you. Again, I'm here each and every Tuesday with different guests, different co-hosts, but we always are keeping it real. We're always providing you with the real issues, real conversations, and real topics. There was something else I was going to say, and I lost it just that quick. Oh, okay, for those of us who are in the 757, the next couple of weeks will be crazy, so please be careful. We got the meat coming in, so if you're driving around, please be safe. You know, if you're hanging out, please be safe. That's all I'm going to tell you, just please be safe. Because, you know, we're going to have people coming in from out of town. And just like people who just came back from the CIAA, you know, we're going to have crazy people coming in for the check. So not
That's
everybody's
right.
here to watch the basketball. Some people here just to party. So just be safe. That's all I have to say. Anybody else want to say anything before we roll out?
I would just like to thank you, Nikki Outlaw, for inviting me to your show. I really enjoyed myself, and I hope to get invited back again.
Always. Welcome invitation. When, anytime you want to be on the show, you just let me know.
Well, I so appreciate it. Well, I would definitely be letting you know.
All right. Hey, we got one. Actually, you know, with our last couple of seconds, we have a caller from 414. State your name really, really quick, and before we get off the air.
It's really, really quick. I just want
really
to say
quick.
Hi.
We got seconds. Hey, this is
hi.
My sister Mel. Mel from
yes,
Mel.
Yes, ma'am. I just had to say hey, and
right.
you know, shout out
hey.
To. It was
hey.
A very good interview. I caught the last minute. You know, I was working, so I wanted
That's
to give my
good.
Love
all
to
good.
My lawless family.
Thank you, hon.
Love all of y'all.
Love you, Ma.
All right, love you, too.
It's lawless, babies. Love you. Peace. Keeping it real with Nikki Outlaw.
One love. All right, I'm out.